Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Ronin Rabbit, a Usagi Yojimbo fan podcast. I am your host. My name is Ed Moore. I'm going to be spoiling the book we're looking at today, so don't at me about that. You know ahead of time. That book is Volume 3's Usagi Yojimbo, issue number 66 from Dark Horse Comics. But before I regale you with my awesome thoughts about that book, allow me to regale you with ways to contact me should you want to talk about my awesome thoughts about this book. I am on Twitter and SkyBlue as Teal Productions, T-E-A-L like the color. On Facebook, I post the episodes on the Usagi Yojimbo fan page. The website is bigtimenoise.com/ronin-rabbit, and my email address is usagipodcast@gmail.com. Now, I told you the book, but what I didn't tell you yet is that it purportedly, according to Mike's Amazing World, was on stands June 4th, 2003. That is more than likely. What is definite is that the title of the story is Sumi-e Part 1. Now, the front cover is an image of Usagi, both swords drawn, long and short, fighting off a trio of very, very large centipedes, I guess you would call these. I don't know if they're centipedes or millipedes or some kind of multipedes. Giant bugs. One of them is either spitting or is coughing up blood because Usagi has hacked it. Could be either one. Could be both, maybe. Inside front cover is our creative information. We're told that this is created, written, and illustrated by Stan Sakai with front cover colors by Tom Luth, back color covers by Jason Vam, and the rest of the Dark Horse businessy people, including the editor, who is Diana Schutz. As we open, Usagi and Jotaro are continuing their journeys. Jotaro, though, is complaining of the life of a itinerant nomad slash ronin is tough on the appetite. He is tired of eating mushrooms. And Usagi says, well, I'll tell you what, the next village we get to, I'll spring for us a decent meal because I know that this area is known for its matsutake gohan, which is mushroom rice. Jotaro isn't overly excited about that. He's tired of mushrooms, he said. So they're walking along, but then Jotaro stops using his spidey senses. And then he tells Usagi, Uncle Usagi. Usagi says, yeah, I know, we're being watched. Jotaro finishes, he must be up to no good hiding like that. What should we do? I ignore him for now, but come on. Then we see the image of he who is watching. It's a dog bandit. That's right, go on your way. I don't want any trouble from you. Later on at the same place. Dog says to himself, there are not many travelers today. No one's come by since those two guys being Usagi and Jotaro. Being a robber sure can be tedious, but it sure beats working for a living. Oh, somebody's coming at last. Rats. They don't look like they have much, but I'll take what they have anyway. I'll let them get a little bit closer. After all, I don't want to chase them. If they're stupid enough to try to run away, I don't want to tire out. Everything depends on timing. Some bandits would strike too early and exhaust themselves chasing their victims. This is all in his head. But not me. I'm a professional. I know how to rob people right. Ah, now. And just as he says that, someone from off-panel says, you're not robbing anyone. What? And the next image is an image of Jotaro with his practice sword saying, drop your sword. In that accent, I can tell. And if anybody knows what movie that is from, let me know. I thought I was being clever. Maybe not. So you came back. Hey, kid, drop it, I said. I've got a real sword. Do you think I'm afraid of you and your stick? And then again, off panel, are you afraid of me and my steel? And we see that it is Usagi that has drawn on him. And Jotaro said, I said I'd handle this, Uncle Usagi. Sorry, Jotaro, it's all yours. Now, robber, as I was saying, and we have multiple panels here, the robber looks concerned. Then he looks frightened. Image of Jotaro, then the bandit, looking just apoplectic, passing out nearly. And finally, Usagi's like, well, what are you looking at? And both he and Jotaro turn behind them. Full page panel, giant insectipede, millipede, centipede, something like that, is coming at them. What is it, Uncle Usagi? I don't know, Jotaro, but it is mega kaiju-sized bug compared to Usagi and Jotaro. And it attacks Usagi. Look out, Uncle Usagi. Keep out of its way. Usagi's hacking at it. And he's getting, rather than the tang, 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 where he's being beaten off by somebody else with another sword, it's a kick, 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 as he's hitting like a solid something. And it turns out, of course, that the chitin of the outer skin is much more tough than they thought. So they're not having any effect on it. An arrow flies by. Usagi says, we've got an ally, but who? And he turns and looks over his shoulder, and sure enough, it's Sasuke. Lure it this way, Usagi. And he fires an arrow at it, bounces off the head of the centipede. Its hide's too thick for my arrows. A giant centipede, where have I heard of such a creature? Ah, there's more than one way to skewer a bug. I hope I'm right. And he's licked the head of his arrow, fires it this time into the eyeball of the insect. With a sploosh, it hits center eye, and it goes from ki-ki-ki-ki-ki to crick-crick-crick-crick-crick-crick. And the kind of scene that we kind of saw here on the front cover, it's spitting something up. Now, I don't know if that's some kind of acidy, poisony defense mechanism, or if that's supposed to be its own internal juices. It was hitting the eye. Not sure why it would be spitting up blood, but maybe that's what it is. One of the very, very few drawbacks to black and white comics. You can't really tell stuff like that because there's no color. So, but it does work. With a plop and a thud, it collapses. Eyeball juicing over, arrow extruding from the eyeball. Definite. Then we see the insect skull. It's dead. Wow, what is that? Jotaro asks. Your arrows were useless against it except that last one, Usagi says. Sasuke retorts, I realized that this was the centipede that fought Fujiwara no Hidesato 700 years ago. So, Jotaro says, don't you know your history? A person's saliva is poison to it, Sasuke says. Oh, yeah, I remember now, finishes Jotaro. So we have several panels of talkie-talkie, and then the dead centipede kind of starts to melt or starts to spontaneously combust or something, but it's going away. Jotaro says, oh, what's happening? Sasuke says, it's dead, though it never really existed as we know life. Who are you? I'm Sasuke, Demon Queller. I met Usagi just a few months ago, Jotaro. How do you know my name? You must have introduced yourself earlier. I search out demons of evil in the world and destroy them. Wow, Uncle Usagi, you really do know the neatest people. Usagi says, I have to admit that I'd hope never to encounter you again, Sasuke. When we parted, you were on the trail of a demon swordswoman. And that is from the trade paperback volume number 14, Demon Mask. I wonder if that's just the same Demon Mask assassin that I referenced a couple episodes ago. I don't remember. That's so long ago. So long ago. The swordswoman seemed to be searching for something or someone. I was on the verge of catching up to her when I was distracted. What? Distracted by what? I detected an evil almost as great as she, but this threat was much more urgent. This is the evil you sensed, Usagi says. Who knows what devastation it would have caused if you hadn't stopped it? This is merely a pawn of that which I seek. What I speak of is deadlier and far more foul and still exists. What could be worse than this monster? Whatever it is, leave us out of it. Karma has drawn me to you, Usagi. It's your fate to assist me. You ask what could be worse than this thing? Let me tell you. So, in the telling, we see a vignette to somewhere else. One more. I just need one more. It won't be long before I'm ready. And someone is on a platform here out in the yard, away from their house, drawing. And his attendant says, Master. And he points at the drawing of a giant buggy centipede millipede thing. And the paper starts burning. What's happening, Master? Clearly, oh, it's a centipede. Clearly, my centipede has been destroyed. Another must replace it. So he sets up the sumiset, starts to draw again. We see line curve line, and then we back away a little bit, and we see that he is drawing a giant Mothra. I'm sorry, a giant moth. I hunt a Sumiset as we cut back to Sasuke and Usagi. No, wait a second, a Sumiset? That's a little more than an ink stick, stone, and brush. Even I frequently carry one. Nevertheless, believe me when I tell you, it is evil. How can a thing be evil? Have you not heard of the death stone of the Nasumur? It's a fox spirit transformed into a large rock. To even touch it is fatal. Are you saying the Sumiset is inhabited by a fox? No, by something far more maleficent. The Inkset is possessed by the soul of Katsushige no Kaigoku, a minor noble of the Heian era. And we get the story that he wanted to be a great artist. He lived during a time of great art, but he was not a great artist. Matter of fact, he sucked. Until he made a deal with a kami. That's K-A-M-I, not C-O-M-M-I-E, by the way. A kami, a bargain. He would create works of art such as the world had never seen. In return, he gave his soul. The kami, in their humor, transformed him into a Sumiset. So is the ink set, he creates works of art, Usagi says, the likes of which have never been seen. But what makes this set so deadly? Whatever is drawn with it becomes reality. Panel of just blank stares. You're joking, right? Do you deny your own eyes? You yourself fought the legendary centipede. Do you have a better explanation for its existence? Come on, we've got to find the Sumiset. What makes you think it's around here? Children have been disappearing from this region. Ah, more to the story. Children are disappearing. What is their connection to the Sumiset? And Jotaro yells out, Uncle Usagi, what is it? Jotaro, I... And then all of a sudden we have the appearance of the Shobijins. No, actually we don't. But the giant moth does appear. Another of Kaigoku's monsters. Run for the trees, Usagi says. It's too late for that, Sasuke says. It's after the boy. Stay behind us, Jotaro. What does it want with Jotaro? Well, he just said that children are disappearing, so apparently it's after the children. Come on, Usagi. Let's see how it does against fire, as Sasuke fires an arrow and it lights in flight, striking the moth mid-head. And starts burning the moth a little bit. The antennae start burning, but it doesn't seem to do much. But then the moth reciprocates with its wind attack, much like Butterfree from Pokemon. Only they're not as affected because subside, foul demon tempest, Sasuke commands, and the winds go away. Nonetheless, the moth grabs Jotaro and flies off, and flies, and flies, and flies. We'll never be able to keep up with that thing. No more of your half-answer, Sasuke. I want to know what's going on. Where is it taking Jotaro? Why have children in this area been disappearing? The ink sticks have almost been used up, so there will be no more. So? That's good, isn't it? No more ink, no more paintings? It's not that simple. Why? What does the children have? What does that have to do with the children? And the final panel, Sasuke looking very serious. Their blood is needed to make more ink. Exclamation point by Usagi, end of part one. So, there we go. I hope I was kind of clever with the Mothra and the Shobijin references and stuff. Who knows? I don't know. I'm having fun anyways. Big inside front cover, big show notes page about the art of ink, which is the definition of Sumi-e, or not definition, but the English version of Sumi-ink. A lot about that. Then we get into some history, a mythology here. And most importantly, Stan tells us that if we want to follow up on what he's told us here on the back cover, we should look at Sho, Japanese Calligraphy, 1989, A Look into Japan, 1985, Japan Day by Day, 1990, and Yoshitsune's 36 Ghosts, 1983. And all will be explained. No, those are just some of the source materials that he used to put together the story in this issue. So it's good. There's a part of me that would love to go back through all of the Usagi issues and find these books that he references and put together my own library like he has. Now, I would probably be at a disadvantage because I'm sure some of these books he references will be in Japanese only. I do not speak nor read Japanese, as anyone that listens to the podcast can pretty much tell. But that would just still be something cool to be able to go through and get the source materials for the different tales and mythologies that he references and things like that. Ah, well. And we're also told in an editorial piece here that Lone Goat and Kid will return in issue 69, which is 3 issues from now. So look out, kids. Lone Goat and Kid is coming. I'm excited that we've seen Sasuke again. Sasuke is probably my favorite non-Usagi himself character in the series. So that's cool. All right, so let's see. Our dramatis personae include Sasuke, aforementioned, Jotaro and Miyamoto Usagi as our protagonists. Our antagonists are kind of all over the place. We had the dog bandit, we have a giant centipede, we have a giant moth, and we have our first inanimate object antagonist, I believe, in the series, and that is the cursed Sumiset, cursed with the soul of Katsushige no Kaigoku, who apparently was a real person. That's referenced partially in the big editorial on the, or the show notes on the back of the page. So I guess the Yoshitsune's 36 ghosts maybe tell that story. I don't see anything else for mythology in the books. So our terms, Matsutake Gohan, which is mushroom rice, and Kami, which is just a deity. Both of those were defined for us by Mr. Sakai. And there we have, I think, everything of import from this issue 66 of Volume 3. If you are entertained enough to listen to next episode, I will be looking at Usagi Yojimbo Volume 4, issue 24. Talk to you guys then. Ciao.